Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Welcome to Becoming Heisenberg. It's Entertainment Talks podcast for Breaking Bad on AMC and Netflix. I'm your host Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is David. How's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. So, David, it's time. It's that episode. It's always referred to as that episode. Some shows do have other episodes that are that one. But we're finally here, Season 3, Episode 10. It's time, finally, to talk about the Fly episode. What did you think of it after seeing it again, I suppose?
I actually rather enjoyed it. It is an oddity in the run. For those that don't know the background to the Fly episode, it is a bottle episode. It's not exactly a bottle episode in what some people would sort of necessarily refer to it as, but in that it is a contained episode with very few characters. Bottle episodes are something that shows do when they're struggling with money and trying to balance their budgets. Every time, Star Trek is a great example of this. Every time you end up with an episode where everything happens on the Enterprise, the reason that they've done that is because they needed to cut budgets and they already have all the sets. So you can do an episode with fewer cast members and just set everything in one place. And that's exactly what this was. It was entirely done for budgetary reasons. However, Vince Gilligan has also said that it does serve an additional purpose in that, you know, when you're creating a series, you want to create ups and downs and you want to create, sort of texture to it. And this is a nice sort of lull before you get into the sort of slightly more manic final episodes of this season. So there was a purpose to it, part of it being to cut costs, but it was then sort of them embracing that and playing with it. My only recollection of this was Walt chasing the fly. I really didn't remember much of anything else that went on in that episode, and I think I remember watching it when I watched it the first time, thinking, that was a bit weird, that episode. But you actually go back, there are some quite tense parts to it. And it's a really nice little character piece between Walt and Jesse. You know, there are things that happen in there that sort of build out that relationship and those characters. It is actually much better than I remember the first time around. I don't remember hating it the first time around, just thinking, well, that was strange. But revisiting it has been quite an interesting experience this time around, and seeing how they're playing with stuff. So, yeah, I actually quite enjoyed it.
Excellent. I think this episode is quite awesome. I think that it's one of them sort of when I've heard people over the years say about, like, oh, this is the bad Breaking Bad, there's no bad episode to Breaking Bad, at least in my opinion, but they will say, like, oh, it's that one, it's the one that's boring, it's the one that's bad, it's this and it's that. And if you come away with that opinion, that's totally fine. And I can see why, in terms of what this episode does in it, as opposed to all of the other ones. And it is a sort of different episode in pretty much the entire series. It's the only one that sort of functions very differently. Okay, you've got episodes that do, like, different flashback stuff and other bits and pieces, but I would label this as a bottle episode. I know not all of the episode takes place in the super lab. There is parts that are outside, but most of it, you'd probably say, 90% of it is in the super lab. I think the main strength of this episode, because I don't really think it has any weaknesses, really, because I sort of, I suppose with me, I just fall into the category of I see what at least what I think the intention was. I guess if I spoke to Vince or something, he might say, oh, we're supposed to do this and that with it. But I kind of get what I think the idea of the episode is. But the main strengths of the episode is definitely character building, character development. It also is a big overall test from beginning to end, right until that stinger at the end where Walt drives off. Of where are Walt and Jesse at with their, do they trust each other? How they've mm-hmm. spent a good chunk of time, like, this isn't the season one anymore. We're heading towards the end of season three, and it is a very big test of, do they trust each other? Are they getting on? Like, what do they think and feel of each other? And that, you know, it is a big test of that. And it kind of does paint, even though I would put Skylar up there as, you know, it depends who you think is the main characters. Obviously, Gus is a very big character. Sol is as well. Mike becomes a bit of a bigger character later. We've admittedly not seen much of him. But Walt and Jesse is sort of the thing that started it. Because if you go vice versa, like, one of them doesn't join the other one, you don't really get the same show. So it's a really, really big test of that. And you've got little things like, because Walt's really got sort of one goal and one idea, and Jesse sort of questions it and challenges it and does all this other kind of stuff, like when he tries to sneak the batch in and that sort of thing. And you go from, especially from Jesse's character, you go from, what are you talking about? We need to get on. I'm not bothered about this fly, really. He's not really, he kind of gets it, but he's like, all right, fine, whatever. He's got this sort of fine whatever, but let's just crack on sort of attitude. And Walt's like, no, we can't, because it might make the next batch useless. And you understand, I kind of understand both of them. For Jesse, it's sort of, he's come up with something else that's getting in the way. And for Walt, it's like, no, I really understand this science. And I mean, even from my somewhat basic understanding of science, like, okay, if you've got an insect like that that's flying around all over the place and you've got a very, very delicate process, yeah, it's probably not a very good idea to carry on.
I mean it's clear that Walter is overreacting to it.
Yeah, it becomes that at a later point.
Sort of not so much about the fly, but I mean, I think that's the other thing, is it shows Walter's mental state.
Oh yeah.
At this point as well.
It does a lot with that.
Should also mention the director for this episode was Rian Johnson.
Yeah, when I was grabbing the recap and stuff, because I don't really... I do with films, because director's a bit of a big thing. I don't usually look at that for the episodes, but I just saw it in there, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, is it the Rian Johnson? And yeah, it is. So
yes,
yeah,
yes. That was quite cool. I mean, who, of course, he's well known for the most controversial of the Star Wars films, The Last Jedi, as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but he's doing all this detective stuff now with Poker Face and that. So
yeah, Poker Face, Knives Out, Glass Onion, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, which he's good at.
And Poker Face, isn't it? Yeah, which he's great at. And I mean, he's a fabulous director, and I'm one of the people that actually will defend The Last Jedi as being quite interesting. It's the last movie that I have a problem with out of those three. Because that's a whole other conversation, but also interesting that apparently this is the only episode that Skylar isn't actually, or Anna Gunn isn't actually, I think she's credited, but she doesn't actually appear. Which I hadn't realized. It's the only episode in the entire series not to feature Skylar. Even though, I mean, she is heard because the lullaby that we hear singing in the opening of it is Skylar, which relates to sort of, you know, we get later on the explanation for why that's in there. But you do hear her, but it's the only episode she's not actually on screen.
Cool. But it was what I was saying. You've got that sort of starting off with, and they're just annoyed at each other. Then you go to like the pills bit and stuff, and then it becomes sort of guilt for him. And then you get to the end, and he's like questioning. They're both kind of questioning each other at the end, but obviously we can get into that more as we go through the recap. But I think it's an excellent episode. Again, I understand why some people don't quite click with it, but I don't agree with that. And I sort of see, even when I first watched it, I was like, okay, this is a bit different, but. For me, I remember when I first watched it, for me, it was when they started talking about Jane. That's where the episode was like, oh, okay, this is sort of the angle that we're going for, and you build up to it and that.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah. I think that's the thing with bottle episodes and these, when people try and do these sort of things, the mistakes that they make, it's like when you get musical episodes of shows. And things like that, where they try to do something slightly different. The mistake that a lot of people make when they do that sort of thing, when they do a bottle episode or a musical episode or something slightly out of the box, is that they do it and then everything goes back to normal afterwards. There's no pushing the story forward. There's no importance to what actually happens within that episode. And there is in this, you know. One of the geniuses one of the geniuses of the musical episode of Buffy was there were some huge reveals in that actual episode. It just happened to be a musical episode as well. And with this, there are a number of things that the audience learn coming through this episode in terms of the relationship between Walt and Jesse. What, you know, Walt has learned that there is meth going missing.
There's that as well. Yeah.
And, you know, there's the conversation about Jane as well, which nearly throws up some really interesting things as well. So, yeah, it's stuff that comes out and does push the story forward a little bit. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. So, what we got for the pre-talk? Surprisingly, we had a bit more pre-talk for a bottle episode, but there's a lot of talking points with episodes like this. So, because they're the more controversial, if we call them that. cool. Right. Let's take a break, do some housekeeping, and then we'll come back and do the recap. See you in a minute. All right. Recently on Entertainment Talk, two back-to-back United cast episodes because we started playing midweek football. We're about to really ramp up with the football because there's four competitions and I don't want to get knocked out of any of them. I'd like to win all four of them. Obviously, that's never actually happened to a team before. But we started our Champions League campaign. We're back in the Champions League wearing our dark green and white kit because reasons. It looks really strange. We lost 4-3 to Bayern Munich. A very, very eventful game. And you can clearly, very visibly see how depleted the team is due to injuries. We currently have 10 injuries, which meant that we had 3 goalkeepers on the bench, which you might use one of them. So yeah, there's Ten Hag has got one hand behind his back at the moment. So, but it's a very, very unlucky game, although we didn't play very well in certain spots. But 4-3 isn't particularly terrible. There's still 5 group stage games in the Champions League, so those will keep going. Over on the other game from the weekend, it was 3-1 to Brighton at Old Trafford. Arguably a worse game than the one against Bayern Munich, but again, depleted squad, not playing well, that sort of stuff. We just need some of our players to come back, and then hopefully we'll kick on a bit more. But we shall see. Over on Gaming Talk last week, there was a Sony State of Play and a Nintendo Direct. I think they were both on the same day, but that's cool. There was a game reveal called Baby Steps, which was quite curious. I quite liked the look of it. Robert thought it was like a skit or something, which was a fun little chat to have. I also talked about Tomb Raider. It's being remastered for all platforms, the original trilogy. And we talked about Spider-Man 2. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, there was a bit of presentation in that as well, so that was good to talk about. Over, of course, we got last week's Breaking Bad podcast, the Diabolical 7 podcast for the boys, but this time for Gen V next, next week. We get the first 3 episodes of Gen V. It's a spin-off of the boys, still going to be on Amazon Prime. I've put a season 1 preview out. I wasn't actually interested in the show at all until I watched the trailer, and now I want to cover the podcast. So you can expect those either late Thursdays or Fridays. That's pretty much the window for those. So that's for that show. You mentioned on Geektown you've seen, you can't obviously talk about them too much.
Seen the first 5. It is great. It's very much, if you like the boys, I'm pretty sure you're going to love this.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the same level of humor, gore. There's a really nice mystery going on. And it takes this interesting sort of look at the world of the boys, but it takes the idea that not all super soups are born evil, some just sort of turn out that way, is mm-hmm. the kind of way that it's set up. So I really enjoyed watching it so far. So gonna be one worth looking at.
Excellent. So that starts next week. Over on gaming, the video game review side of things, I did a hard skip rating for Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Technical issues, story issues, combat issues. A lot of issues with it.
Completely disagree with you on that, but yes, right.
it seems like I got a bad end of the stick in terms of technical issues. But that was my experience. Other people have got other experiences. There we go. That's a completely spoiler-free review, by the way, because I couldn't be bothered to talk about spoilers. So, over on the United cast, there's also updates on Donny van de Beek, Jadon Sancho, Eric Bailly, Anthony, and also Greenwood as well. So if you want to check out some of that stuff. There was just so much off-field drama going on that I put all that into one podcast. Over on Gaming Talk, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Polyarc's VR update. That's the Moss developers. Talked a bit about Starfield, and we talked about Stray getting an animated film. And that is what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. By the way, quick mention, Classic Review Season 6. I didn't even look at my own notes. Classic Review Season 6 coming soon. That's where, obviously, I review classic TV shows and games and films. If you're curious about what that is before Season 6 gets here, there is 5 seasons and a bonus season. So if you want to sort of catch up with that or sort of check those out, the 6th season isn't going to be out until at least December. So you've got some time to check out some of the other ones. So I just wanted to mention that. Apparently mentioning that is working, because a few more people are actually discovering it, because I suppose if we never mention that it exists, then nobody's going to check it out. So there we go with that. Very kind of quick cold open, but obviously we see how it ties into the episode with the fly. Quick cold open, lullaby song by, like we said, Skylar. Close up of a fly. And then we cue the intro. I noticed with the audio a little bit, maybe it was just my side of things, it really kind of, it was a bit quiet right? Because you got this close up look at the fly, this sort of quiet little lullaby song, and then it just went duh, 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 like that into the intro. But it was cool the way that it happened. Not a lot to talk about here. I don't think we have 10 minutes of analysis talking about a scene
No.
with a fly, but it's the cold open. We see how it ties into the episode. I've kind of noticed a little bit just on the cold opens for the show. Maybe it's more, maybe from what I remember, it's now more of a season one and two thing. We haven't had as many sort of. I mean, I guess if you looked at the title for the episode and saw it was called Fly for your first time watching it, and then you saw this, obviously it would make a certain amount of sense. I suppose out of context, this doesn't make a lot of sense because, okay, why are we seeing a fly and why is a lullaby being sung rather? But in terms of the like the teddy bear, obviously is a classic one. The car bobbing up and down in later season two or something, season one. These like classic confusing sort of like we'll get something completely out of context that doesn't seem to relate to anything, and then we'll get the answer by the end of the episode. And it's not a bad thing that Breaking Bad hasn't done it as much as particularly in season three, because you don't have to do it all the time. But I've noticed it's happened a little bit less. Or you get like some shorter cold opens and stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, we see how it ties into the episode, and we will crack on with that. Walter White is suffering from amnesia. Sorry, I'm some insomnia. What's doing there? Insomnia. Amnesia is a totally different thing. Stares up at his smoke detector's flashing light while trying to get back to sleep. By the way, it says 2 a.m. on the clock next to him. And then when he wakes up, it says, I think it was 6 or 5 a.m. or something. So he didn't get a lot of sleep. Also, why is he getting up at 6 a.m.? I'm not quite sure. We'll talk about that in a second, I suppose. But yeah, he's looking at his flashing light while trying to get back to sleep. Later, he arrives with Jesse at the meth lab because they need to do a bit of catch up, don't they? If we remember from last time, where they begin making another batch of meth. At the end of the day, Walt calculates that their yield, while above what they are required to produce, which is what they've kept sort of doing, falls short of what he expects. Jesse, who's been secretly taking small amounts, which we've seen him set up away from Walt, obviously, small amounts for personal distribution, suggests it may be from spillage or other losses, but Walt insists there is another reason. Yeah, kind of challenging each other here because obviously we know what Jesse's been up to because we saw the setup away from, I was going to say off screen, but it wasn't off screen, with the group and with, was it Badger and Skinny Pete? Yeah. About them trying to distribute their own meth and stuff. And you can see, like, just from body language and obviously just good acting from Aaron Paul, this sort of like. A small amount of guilt, but also nervousness, because he can tell with how Walt operates, is how he's very particular about things and numbers and measurements and science and all that sort of stuff. And Jesse sort of saying, "Oh, maybe it was from spillage, or maybe there was like I think he says like bits left inside the container." And Walt's just sort of like, "No, not that. That might account for like minuscule sort of amounts, but not that sort of much." See. Obviously, with the way how particular Walt is, when it comes, even if it's something like 0.01%, he's gonna notice something like that because that's just what Walt does. And I get it, you want to measure what you've got anyway. And obviously, you're dealing with Gus Fring, you don't want to get your maths wrong, especially when they're trying to catch up and stuff. But it's interesting to see here Walt trying to work out, I suppose, what's going on. But Jesse obviously knows. It's a. Again, a very good way. This is before the fly even gets here. Or I suppose it's in there at the moment, but they haven't seen it yet. But it's a good way to kick things off. It's that beginning sort of, like I said earlier, the challenging between Walt and Jesse's partnership, relationship, what they think of each other. It's all sort of tested. So this is the sort of start to that. It's a very good start. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. It is a good opening. It sort of sets up Walt's state of mind as well as you go into that episode. And the fact that he's getting quite sort of obsessive about the amount. And what is sort of interesting is Walt's more concerned about the fact that, you know, it's under and there is amounts going missing. Whereas if they were losing that amount through spillage or whatever else it was, if it was that, I mean, Gus isn't really going to care all that much. But, you know, if it's been, what he would care about is the fact that if he discovers that Jesse is stealing it and it's being sold out where, that's actually a problem. So it's not, mm-hmm. it's not really about the amount. It's about the fact that it's being, you know, it's being sold. Ultimately, that's the issue. But Walt's more obsessed about the fact that, well, why isn't the math adding up at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that sort of really sets up where Walt's mind is, you know, yeah. And he's sort of analytical kind of, you know, he's starting to get obsessive over something, and that kind of leads you into the rest of the episode.
Mm. Do you think there's also, I only just thought of this now, admittedly, I would say no, but I'm just bringing it up as a question. Do you think there's a certain amount of, because he hasn't become Heisenberg yet, and we got a question about the whole Breaking Bad becoming Heisenberg thing, which is obviously a key point to the show. Do you think there's a certain amount of, now that they're actually behind, not through either of their, well, inadvertently through Walt's fault, because Hank got injured and that created a domino effect. Do you think there's a certain amount of nervousness from Walt as well, in terms of, because Gus is Gus, you know, and it's kind of, because they're now actually behind, aren't they, with their, they've got to make up some numbers, which I was asking a minute ago, why does he get up at 6 a.m? Maybe it's just to get in and crack on early or something. Do you think there's a certain amount of nervousness from Walt of like, we've got to catch up and this maths is bugging me like more than it would? We know he's particular anyway, but do you think it sort of adds to it at all?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think he's so worried about Gus, about sort of retribution from Gus or anything like mm-hmm. that. I do think it's more a case of he's obsessed about the fact that the numbers themselves don't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that so what is going on, and yeah, why aren't the numbers adding up? And he's more concerned about that at that point, I think.
Yeah, yeah. After Jesse leaves for the day, Walt sees a housefly in the lab, which he fears could contaminate the meth-making process. He tries numerous means to swat it, even dangling precariously from the lab's catwalk, which he slips and falls to the floor. When Jesse returns the next day, he finds Walt still in pain from the fall and demanding that they cannot start cooking until they get rid of the fly. Jesse worries about Walt's lack of sleep and suggests they go outside to figure it out. However, when Jesse goes to leave, Walt locks him out of the lab and goes back to find the fly. I forgot to mention it in the pre-talk. Obviously, we talked about things quite a bit in there. This episode's also very good at, well, not just the episode, but Brian's sort of comedic side comes out here, and Walt's sort of more comedic side. Not him like cracking jokes. That's not what I'm talking about. But in terms mm-hmm. of, there is still that comedy element to Walt. Still there, and I've mentioned it for a few different pieces, but things like him trying to get the shoe back, or him throwing the shoe up there in the first place and then smashing, I think it was a light or something, and
yeah,
there's that certain not really clumsiness, but he's trying to do this one particular thing, and in terms of how sort of like, I guess, physically capable Walt is of doing things like climbing and throwing stuff, and it's not something he usually does really, and him sort of like climbing up there and then trying to whack the thing down, and yeah, it's I didn't actually laugh per se, I sort of smiled a little bit, but it's still got that in there, and it's nice to, because we know what this guy ends up being like and what the full Heisenberg looks like, and it is different to this man. There's elements of Heisenberg in there, and obviously it's called Breaking Bad, it's a process. But it's nice to kind of see that, I suppose. Not him falling and hurting himself, obviously. But I thought that was quite an interesting little touch, because you've sort of got that along with the worried parts of him when Jesse comes back and he's making decisions like closing the door on him. So there's lots of things going on with Walt as well. which I thought was quite good. But yeah, this is the start of things. He starts to see this fly, and yeah, the chaos ensues, I suppose, of trying to whack every different platform and hit things and all that kind of stuff. It's great. It's just really cool. What do you think of the beginning of the fly's appearance, I suppose?
Yeah, it is a very sort of slapstick kind of thing. This is the bit that I remember of him running around the lab chasing the fly. And, you know, that's the bit that kind of stuck out for me from the first time I saw it. And that fall as well. There was actually, so I've read some background about that fall. It was, because obviously it wasn't Brian that did it. It was a stuntman. They actually, what they actually did was the stuntman had to fall. And then when he landed, a bunch of the crew took like very specific pictures of like exactly where he landed. And then they sort of used them to line Brian up in exactly the same position. So at some point there is a cut where they switched them out. But it's really well done. You don't notice it at all. Cause if you look at that actual shot, it's a very nice bit of film editing that, because you don't notice the cut between him falling and Brian and them closing in on Brian, because it seems like it's all one shot. So yeah, that was a, you know, hats off to them for how they shot that. Because it was a really nasty fall that they actually filmed, because he kind of bounces off one of those big sort of unit things. The conversation between Walt and Jesse, I think, is kind of interesting. And Jesse's sort of clearly somewhat concerned about how Walt is acting and doesn't understand about the fly initially. And of course, it doesn't really make any sense, because it is one house fly. And as Jesse points out at this point, they're cooking meth. You know, they're not in sort of some kind of clean room. One fly is not going to completely screw over the entire batch, you know, it's just not.
One other bit I liked as well, because it's in this section as well, when Jesse tries to sort of sneak the batch in, because he's sort of slowly undoing the clips, and he's got one more left, I think, to do. And he's like looking left and right, and he suddenly turns left and Walt's just standing there. Thought that was pretty good. And he's like, "What are you doing?" you got some serious stuff that comes up later, like the Jane conversations and that. But this is, it's good to know that even, and this is down to writing and all kinds of other qualities, that even almost at the end of season 3 of a 5-season run of a show that's got some quite dark stuff in it, that you can still pull off these sort of like nice or funny or sort of like, yeah, nicer sort of moments and things. So it's quite good. Right. Where are we at now? When Jesse disconnects the main power to the lab, Walt lets him back so that they can work together. Jesse gets some fly paper, which they hang around the lab, as well as some sleeping pills that he secretly puts into Walt's coffee. He then recounts a story about his late aunt who experienced auditory hallucinations as a result of her cancer spreading to her brain. Walt asserts that he is still in remission. There's a bit in here, not to do with the aunt or this particular story, that actually did make me laugh when I rewound it twice, which was when, the power's on, and Walt's in there, obviously still trying to swat this fly. He's got this swatter, which is now bending in the middle, and he sees the fly on the side of something, and he goes to, like, you know, make the thing straight. And it's the way Brian does it. It's the way it's all staged. It's the timing of things. He literally goes to swing this swatter, but it's the way he says good night and all this kind of stuff. And then as he's swinging, like at the worst possible moment, and the lights just go off, and he just crashes into something or whatever. I just thought that was quite funny. It's the way he says goodnight. It's the way he's sort of like properly poised and ready to get this fly, which has been, you know, driving him nuts. It was, I thought that was quite good. Before we talk about the aunt stuff and that, what did you think of that kind of moment?
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff about him, like chasing the fly around the lab and that sort of thing. There is an element of kind of Moby Dick to the, which is a, you know, classic novel where,
I have heard of that. I'm not sure what it is though.
Yeah, it's a novel which is about a boat captain that is going after this whale, who is you know, being impossible to catch, and there are certain mirroring elements which I think were probably intentional in the characterization of Walt and the fly being the whale and Walt being the sort of main character, which was, I think it's no way, which I think, yeah. So there are sort of you know, parallels to that, which I think they were probably playing on this as well.
How old is Moby Dick?
Moby Dick was written in 1851 originally. Oh, God. So yeah, I mean, it's a book that's been around for a while, I think it's fair to say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I mean, it's a classic novel, and I think they are playing around with that sort of parallel in there as sort of Walt playing Captain Ahab, and sort of, you know, that Moby Dick, the sort of the fly being the whale in that analogy. But I love that they're sort of doing that with this. I think it's really awesome, and it just shows the comedic timing from Brian as well.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So yeah, with this conversation about the aunt, obviously this is when things start to get a bit more serious. It's clear sort of what Jesse's doing. He's trying to sort of get Walt to still sort of stop looking for this fly, and at this point Walt has to have kind of stopped, because obviously he's starting to get tired. He's starting to just become more out of it, and now he's taken, you know, unaware he's taking these sleeping pills. So that's where this sort of stops, and obviously Jesse's the one that gets the fly in the end. It's quite sad to hear about and stuff with the aunt and everything, but obviously you can see what Jesse's sort of trying to do and talk about. So it's about how that keeps building into the episode. And you can, this for me is where you start to slowly see, like, you see how he sneaks the pills in and stuff, even though Walt himself is getting tired anyway. I guess Jesse wants to quicken the process or something. And you can sort of tell when Walt starts drinking the coffee, even sort of the way he says thank you. And I noticed some little bits of acting and stuff like that. And you slowly get this, for me anyway, this sort of guilt coming through for Jesse. Almost this guilt straight away of like, should I have given him these pills? And he's a bit nervous about doing it and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's an interesting way to build towards, I suppose, that one of the main points is, which is the Jane conversation. So what do you think of this bit?
Yeah, this is kind of where it gets deeper, because they're starting to talk about, you know, the families, and Jesse's, the point Jesse is bringing up is the fact that, because he talks about his aunt and the fact that, you know, she's, because at this point I don't think Jesse's actually seen the fly himself, and he's kind of saying, you know, maybe you're imagining it. And then he's relating this thing about his aunt, about the fact that she used to see these hallucinations. And he's talking about the possum that his aunt used to imagine was still running around the house after they caught it.
Yeah.
And so we do learn here that Walt knows that his cancer is definitely still in remission, and it's not that, because he's, you know, Jesse's obviously slightly concerned that the cancer spread to his brain and that's what's happening. So, you know, that is something that, yeah, that's an bit of information that kind of comes out of that conversation. But it does settle things down into this rather more serious conversation which comes up about Jane.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. As the two, sorry, as they wait to catch the fly, the two talk about their families. It's Walt's turn to talk now. Walt states that he should have already died and tries to think of the perfect moment to have done so. After he had enough money, after his daughter Holly was born, before his surgery, and before Skyler knew what he had been doing, he finally decides the perfect moment to die would have been the night Jane died. Obviously, this kicks off all that. Telling Jesse of his conversation with her father, Donald, he tries to calculate the chances of meeting both father and daughter in different scenarios, just like a random bar, he sort of said, on the same night, despite having never met either beforehand, but finds the odds too astronomical to calculate. It's interesting he mentions that obviously Walt's obsessed with numbers and adding things up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this is where it starts to really kind of, things really start to sort of get to Walt, because it's like, okay, you're bringing that up, and that's, and I've always said before, I like when characters actually, and it doesn't happen as much as you think it does, at least I don't think it does, characters actually sitting down and thinking about what's happened to them and talking about it with somebody, and it bringing up memories of what's actually happened to them. I know it sounds very sort of simple and silly, but it doesn't happen as often as you might think. But them sort of going over events and saying, oh yeah, when this happened and when that happened, I think it's quite good for, you know, character development and things. The funny part to me about this, not actually funny, was, okay, so he's starting to talk about, he's obviously been thinking about this, about he might die and when would have been the perfect moment, and he's looking back as opposed to forward because he thinks that moment's already gone. And then he starts to get into his own head a little bit with the calculation thing, because okay, we get why he's doing that, but when he starts talking about that, and I know he's a bit out of it and he's whatever at this point, and it's like, okay, why are you concerned? Well, we know why, but why are you concerned with the maths of that particular thing? Like, of the coincidence of when you met these two and what the odds would be? Like, what is the... Is it because he's obsessed with numbers and because he's a bit out of it and, you know, he's thinking back to that moment and it's to do with Jane? We see why he's doing it, but it was just an interesting little... Within everything he said there, the whole him trying to calculate the odds, but he doesn't want to do it, as opposed to usually when he's obsessed with numbers and that sort of thing. I thought it was a very interesting point. Also just interesting to hear him talk about, I've been around, even though he's only, what, in his 50s or so, I would say, Walt, which, yeah, mm-hmm. is I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's middle age, it isn't old, is it? No. And he's like, oh, I've sort of lived too long, and he's starting to talk about all these sorts of things. And he tries to pick the moment. So it's very interesting all the stuff Walt says here. It was just interesting that, like, the calculation that he comes up with. But it's about just, I suppose, where he's ended up and his mental state and him trying to figure that out. So there's a lot going through Walt's mind, basically, is what's going on here. So yeah, what do you think of what Walt has to say here?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. We sort of, you know, and you do wonder where he's kind of going with it, and mm-hmm. how much he's actually going to end up confessing at this point. And yeah, this sort of reveal that he had a conversation with Donald, and, you know, they talked about family, and there is a certain, I mean, you could say that some of that conversation certainly had an effect on Donald as well, I think, you know, because they did talk about family, and I'm sure there is a certain amount of that running through his head. And Walt discussing the sort of I've lived too long, you know, and talking about the perfect moment, which is of course why we hear the lullaby at the start, because he actually comes up with the perfect moment that he should have died was when he was just sat at home and on the baby monitor he could hear Skyler singing a lullaby to Holly, and that's why we hear that lullaby over the fly at the start.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of, yeah, the whole conversation's quite kind of interesting, and it must be odd to be in that sort of situation where you've effectively, you know, you've been diagnosed with something like that and you're told you may only have X amount of time to live, and then it goes into remission and suddenly you're okay and you may live a long and happy life. And but in the meantime, in Walter's case, he's done something pretty over the top in terms of you know, starting to cook meth to do it. So he's in this odd situation of like, well, it wasn't supposed to be like this. It was, I wasn't supposed to be here, you know. I was supposed to just cook the meth, make the money, die, and the family would be none the wiser. And then it's sort of all slightly gone wrong. So yeah, it just must be a very odd place to be in. And he's also getting quite groggy, so, you know, he's starting to talk and ramble, and you sort of, yeah, you start to wonder where he's actually going to end up going with this, particularly now Jane and the father have been brought up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that was the moment Jesse sort of perked up a bit when he mentioned her dad, and he was like, oh.
What did you talk about? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't think he didn't know that, did he? So
no.
All it would have taken is a slip of the tongue of like, oh, I was there when she died or something, or like, oh, I saw the two of you or something like that. I can't remember what's the closest thing that he says. Oh, I'm sorry about Jane, but that, I mean, that's a little bit there, but that's more just, I'm just sorry that she's not here.
Well, yeah.
But then Jesse's distracted anyway at that point.
Yes, because that bit comes up next. So I was going to talk about that there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of said scene, Jesse is distracted when he sees the fly near the ceiling as he tries to use the stepladder to reach the fly. So dangerous.
Yeah.
An increasingly sleepy Walt seems poised to confess about his role in Jane's death. Jesse tells him Jane's death was nobody's fault, but he still misses her. Walt tells him to give up on the fly and start working, decrying that it's all contaminated. Jesse climbs back down and, seeing the fly land on the ladder, finally swats it and actually finally kills it. Yeah, you kind of wondered. I remember when I was first watching this episode, which was 9 years ago. And 9 years ago, 2014. You're just wondering if he's going to have a slip of the tongue, if he's going to say, like, because the clever thing here about the way this conversation is constructed is Jesse's distracted anyway, but Walt's so close to saying something that might sort of give Jesse like a light bulb moment of like, wait a minute, what did you, a sort of wait a minute, what did you say type thing. Yeah. And it never quite gets there, which is an interesting sort of tease for that, because we know what happened and Jesse doesn't, but Jesse's distracted. He's also kind of, I think the way Jesse's listening to Walt as well is like, okay, you're sleep deprived, I'm kind of half listening to you because of that, and because I'm trying to get rid of this fly. He's also not trying not to, you know, fall off and break his neck as well. So there's a fair bit going on there. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about when we do get to this fly episode. Okay, yeah, it's, they have conversations and they try to get rid of a fly. On the basic level, it does seem kind of simple and to some people a waste of time. But to me, it's just not, when you, especially when you start bringing up Jane and the moment Walt wanted to die and all these kind of things. And the episode builds up to, I think, this scene particularly very, very well. Of course, you've got a bit after when their trust is still tested as well. And you've got that running through the episode, like the trust of both of them, and that kind of goes back and forth and stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot here. But they finally get this fly, and that conversation sort of finishes for now, I suppose. So, what do you think of this scene?
Yeah, you do sort of wonder if Walt, you know, if Jesse hadn't drugged Walt, would Walter have actually confessed at that point? You know, because Jesse drugs Walt, Walter falls asleep. He actually misses Jesse swatting the fly, and then and he's out by that point, but it really does seem that he's about to kind of confess that he was there and he, you know, saw Jane die and didn't help. It does sort of look like that's the route that he's about to go down, but then, you know, Jesse gets distracted by the fly and Walt falls asleep, so it doesn't happen. I mean, the whole... Yeah, and it's sort of ironic that Walt is asleep when this is all sort of finally resolved.
Yeah,
and
when
Walt
he gets
actually,
him, yeah.
And it's Jesse that actually manages to get the fly in the end. Because the fly itself is a... And the whole episode really is a sort of look at Walt's character. I mean, we've said before that the entirety of Breaking Bad is about a man wanting to try and stay in control of his life.
Yeah.
In whatever way that means, you know, and whenever he gets stressed or he's worried about something, he grapples with anything he possibly can to try and be in control of it. And this is a perfect example of that. You know, he wants to be in control of the lab, and there is something in the lab that shouldn't be there as far as he's concerned, so that becomes the most important thing that he focuses on. And we've seen this with Walt many, many times, you know, he's absolute obsession and ego of trying to be in control all the time. And sometimes you've just sort of got to let go. So I do wonder, though, it had Jesse kind of not knocked Walt out, whether we would have gotten a confession, and, you know, that would have driven it in a different direction. But yeah.
Lots and lots of great stuff. Jesse takes a sleeping Walt to a couch where he cleans up the lab and prepares for the next batch. You can see him taking like a bag or whatever through. They later leave together, but Walt warns Jesse that if he has been skimming from their product, he will not be able to protect him from Gus if Gus finds out. Jesse denies taking anything and states that he's not asking anyone to protect him. That night, Walt is awakened by buzzing and sees a fly landing on the smoke detector's flashing light. And that is the end of our episode. This is kind of the conclusion of, obviously the conclusion of the episode, but also just sort of, they've been through what they've been through. They started at a certain point. They went through this whole palaver. And now it's back to more concentrated, more awake conversation in terms of like reflecting on it a bit and sort of, the funny thing is, they don't really, obviously the fly's no longer an issue anyway, but it gets back to a previous point of, okay, if you have, and I'm not accusing you if you have, I can't protect you. And you've immediately gone back to this tense sort of, Jesse knows he has, obviously. Walt is just sort of, hey, if you have, do something about it now because I won't be able to protect you from Gus. So not really like a full warning, more of just, if you have, I can't help you with this, and I'm just letting you know. But then you've got this sort of bite back almost from Jesse, not to deflect really, but to kind of like, again, questioning. It's a questioning of each other's trust, and it's Jesse saying, you know, no, I don't need your protection. So sort of biting back at that a little bit, and it doesn't, what I like as well, it doesn't quite leave a clear image of, do they trust each other, do they not, what do they even think of each other, does Walt think he did actually take it, and it leaves those questions open-ended, which I think is actually arguably more interesting, because there's obviously still more episodes to go. But I feel like with these types of Breaking Bad scenes, especially this one, it's not just about listening to what they're saying to each other, it's like, how are they both acting, how are they looking at each other, what's like the body language and stuff, because there's quite a lot, obviously you've got two very talented actors, and some very good writing to go with it. But it's like the way they're looking at each other, how it, like tone of voice and things like that. It's not just simply, oh, I'm going to ask you this, you're going to say yes and no, because Breaking Bad's just better at doing that. So that's a good way to end the episode, and one that sort of just leaves an interesting question mark, I think. So what do you think of the end of the episode?
Yeah, it's... it's something that, as I said at the start, you know, Walter was sort of worried about the fact that, you know, was the numbers didn't add up. But I think he's more, at this point now, he is more concerned about the fact that, you know, as I said, Gus wouldn't actually care that there might have been some spillage and the numbers didn't add up. Walt was concerned about the amounts not adding up because that made mean the pro, there was something wrong in his process, mm-hmm. and he's trying to control that. And it means that he screwed something up, which is not, you know, Walt's very meticulous. But ultimately, Gus wouldn't really care. But what Gus would care about is if he discovered some street punks selling his meth. And it would be like, well, where's this come from? How have they got it?
Yeah.
And, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how Walter Pope's that, approaches that with Jesse by basically saying, you know, I'm not accusing you or anything, but if this is the case, I can't help you. And I think it's quite a sort of fatherly way almost of kind of dealing with that. You know, and Jesse, of course, being Jesse, just denies it.
I can't remember where this goes either, by the way. I can't remember if Jesse gets caught
on
what's that. I can't remember at all.
I can't remember what happens with that. I mean, it's quite interesting. The episode overall, I think, is because of that conversation that Jesse has about he's lived longer than he should. There is almost an element of him going, why am I now doing this? What am I, you know, why is this continuing? You know, because they've got the money that they need. And besides that, it's actually destroyed his family, you know, or his relationship with his family. So in terms of the sort of Breaking Bad arc, it is actually a bit of a kind of tentpole of sort of Walt starting to realize that, you know, he has lived past his sell-by date as far as he's concerned. You know, why is he doing this? Which I think is a step onto the becoming Heisenberg side of things, because he's still very much Walt at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we've seen elements of Heisenberg pop up, but he's still far more Walt. And
yeah,
I think this is where you start to see much more of a shift towards the Heisenberg persona. And the Walt persona starts to shed more from this point on, because, you know, this is your sort of your bridge point when he's made that realization that, you know, he probably shouldn't still be here. So why is he? And yeah, so it is, I mean, as controversial as this episode was when it came out and how it split people, generally it has been very well received, sort of as people have gone back and looked over it again, and critically, I think it's been looked at very well. But just in the overall arc of the entire run, it is very much a sort of tentpole episode in that character development as well.
Absolutely. That's the end of the episode. Let's get some feedback and emails if you would like to write into the show and like to be read out on the show and responded to, I suppose, about your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments, Breaking Bad, anything else. Obviously, thoughts on the Fly episode. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, Twitter eTalkUK, everyone still calls it Twitter, and his information in your show notes. Jack says, I still don't like this episode that much. I don't hate it, and there are probably tons of Reddit threads, etc., about the meaning of it all. I just think it's fine. I didn't go and look at anything from Reddit. Those threads, I'm guessing, are probably still up from even all those years ago. Yeah. People are probably still talking about this episode through rewatches, and I mean, that's what we're doing right now. I would imagine at the time, that would have been, you know, full of all that and meanings of things and all that kind of stuff, which is cool, which is kind of the deeper parts of episodes like this when you get people to talk about stuff. So, but yeah, there's probably, you know, themes and other different stuff. Obviously, there's the lullaby and the fly at the start. There's Walt's condition, Jesse and Walt's partnership, relationship, trust. There's lots of things kind of going on. So, but you're welcome to think whatever you like about it. So, have you seen, I know this is one of the more sort of talked about ones, but had you seen any sort of particular threads or anything like that on it?
No, I mean, I've not really been and looked at Reddit threads on it. I know it is one that people do talk about. And it is one of those episodes, because it's been so controversial, that people go and analyze does the fly mean this? Does the fly mean that? Is it representative of something, you know? And I think that's what makes it quite interesting, is the fact that it you can read various things into the meaning of it as well. But yeah, it's, you know, so yeah, there are lots of theories and suggestions from fans about what the episode actually means. We know the practicalities of why the episode was produced, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't have further meaning behind what they did in it, you know.
It's interesting you've got a bottle episode like this, and there's been other really, really great bottle episodes of TV. And obviously, Walking Dead's one that we point out, of which does have quite a few bottle episodes now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But you've got episodes which are literally like Daryl sitting in the woods. Like, if remember that, I think that was from one of the set of six bonus COVID episodes or whatever. And because if I remember, I can't remember, because there were sort of two that were similar, and one went from Daryl and Carol just, it was Daryl like in the middle of the woods looking for Rick, and like his map got destroyed and he ended up chatting to Carol and he was in the woods on his own and like nothing really happened. And then there was the Here's Negan, and then you went from arguably one of the worst episodes to one of the best. And then you have episodes like this where, okay, in terms of like things that happen in the episode, there's not a lot of things that happen in this episode. It's about the conversation. To me, it's more about the conversations and less about catching the actual fly. It's about what that creates. So yeah, you can either come out with really great bottle episodes or whatever. So heck, if you look back at, if I remember from the Watchmen series, that really great HBO show, which was quite sort of, okay, there was an overarching thing, but it really was kind of somewhat character focused each week. There was a few of those that you could, especially episode, is it six? The black and white episode or something?
Yeah, the black and white one.
And that was kind of sort of a bottle episode, but that was like one of the best episodes of the whole show. Because bottle episodes are so challenging to do, you've got to have an actual particular good idea, rather than just, oh, we're going to slot this one in, we can't use much budget, so we're going to basically lock this character, not like by locking an actual door, we're going to trap this character in some way, shape or form in this thing, and they're going to contemplate their life for 45 minutes, which is sort of what the Daryl episode is. So anyway, Caroline writes in again, says, huh, well, that was interesting. Going to need some more time to think about this episode, but still thought it was good. Anyway, I'm sure you'll both do an excellent job of breaking it all down. Thank you very much. It's not one that there's old like films and games and shows that I think about when they get brought up, and things that are more special to me and things like that. I think when I watched this show the second time or the first time, obviously it was in my mind in terms of, okay, when I think about the best on television or do lists or talk about, you know, compare this show to other really, really great shows, but explain reasons as to why that show isn't as good as this, but that's like a really high bar. That's where Breaking Bad sort of come up. It's not one particularly where I've thought about, obviously you've got sort of the three at the end of the series, which are like really, really just, they do what they do in those episodes. Mm-hmm. Like the Ozymandias is one, and all these kinds of other ones, which is just Breaking Bad staying in fifth gear and just proper going for it. But then it's the end of the show. But I sort of remember when we started doing this, and I thought about, okay, now I'm going to come to a point where, okay, I've seen the show already, but I've talked about it on other podcasts. but not done individual sort of, okay, now we're at this episode and this episode. And this was one of the first ones that did jump to my mind of like, oh, wonder when we get to the Fly episode what that one will be like. And if I'll like the episode as much or not like it as much or that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's been interesting to sort of get to this point. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it has. I can't remember whether there are actually any more sort of bottle episodes as we, things we'd consider bottle episodes as you go through.
I can't think of any.
The run. I mean, this is sort of a fairly unique thing, I think, here. But, yeah, there was one point that I did see sort of making about this episode. I was talking about this being quite pivotal of Walt, and that transition into becoming Heisenberg, which is, you know, what we're here to talk about. What's sort of interesting, this was actually from a Reddit thread, was somebody suggesting that, you know, the difference between sort of before and after this, and Walt making that thing about, you know, I've lived too long. And prior to this, Walt was cooking for his family. And because of that, he's prepared to cook anywhere. He's, you know, dirty RV. If there were flies around, there were flies around. He didn't care. Whereas now he's got this nice super lab and he's worried about one fly contaminating it. And the reason for that is because he's cooking for his own pride. He's not cooking for family. He's cooking kind of because, you know, he's wants to do it, and it's about his pride and his affection. And that sort of is highlighted more than anything else in this episode. And because of and that's your sort of your sort of the slide downhill into Heisenberg, I think, at that point.
So there we go. But I'm glad you thought the episode was interesting and stuff. It is one that can get you thinking and stuff. That's cool. Abed writes in and says, hello to you both and thanks for the podcast. You're welcome. The series is called Breaking Bad. It is indeed. Does this mean that the idea was always for Walt to break bad by the end of the show? If not, can you think of the moment for you both when he does? And does the community all agree on the same moment? Well, getting the internet to agree on something is impossible. So I get what you mean, though. Is it like a consensus sort of moment of like, this is when he broke bad? I've never come across those conversations before of like, oh, this is the moment when he did. Although, to be fair, I haven't really looked for those conversations. So I've got a scene or a moment in my mind. Now, when we get to that episode, I'll tell you off the air which episode it is, or the moment that it's for. I think it's from there where things start to really break bad for him. I think I've listened to probably bits and bobs from Vince over the years. There was, because one thing you got me thinking about when I read this first time, I remember two separate comments from two separate showrunners. I remember with Lost, it's either JJ or Damon, I can't remember which one, or maybe it was somebody else, and they said about in like the early stages of it being called Lost and people wondering kind of when would they get off the island, and I can't remember exactly what he said. I've probably listened to this him say this like a year or two ago or something, and he said the show's not called Found, it's called Lost, so it's got to be about them being lost. Now, not every single show that's ever existed is very dependent on what its name is called. Obviously, you've got things like, you know, 24, that just has to be within a 24 format, that's what that is. Some shows are just called what they're called because they are, like you've got, okay, The Walking Dead, it's that's about the dead that are walking around. But the idea of, let's say, Walking Dead is not kind of let's reach this goal because the goal is survive. Whereas with I got the comment with Lost because it was, okay, it's called Lost, you can't have them be found straight away because it's not called Found, it's called Lost. The difference there, obviously, it's not called breaking, so it's describing something happening. It's not broken. It's not called broken bad or broke bad. It's called breaking bad. So you can't just have sort of, because the whole breaking bad, he's got to continue to break bad across, like it's a process. And we talked about here with the fly and how that contributes and him questioning the money and stuff. And that's part of the story. Like with Lost, again, it's them being lost until, well, certain parts of the show, and then they become kind of sort of found and then lost a bit again and that sort of thing. Again, not every show's got that intention with its name. But see, it's interesting with that, because to me, he does break bad before the end of the series. But I wouldn't really look at this and say, oh, that means he has to break bad on the final episode. Because in order for him to get to, like, mentally and for his character to get to some of the points and do some of the things that he does in, let's say, season, especially later season 5, he sort of needs to have been broken bad by that point. Because if he's still sort of 90 or 95%, he might not do some of the things that he does because Walt wouldn't do some of those things. And I'm trying to be obviously vague because of later spoilers and stuff. But it's the whole process of things. It's not called broken bad. It's not called, you know, broken bad already or whatever. Which is kind of why we called this Becoming Eisenberg, because again, that's why it fits in with the name of the show and stuff. But, and that's what makes it interesting. But the whole thing of like, okay, it's called Breaking Bad. Does that mean he does it by the end of the episode, end of the series? That doesn't have to work that way. But then you also get kind of, he breaks bad, and then you see what that person does. Admittedly, for a bit of a shorter time in the series, because I would say the more majority of the series with Heisenberg proper is a lot less time than Walt, but that's because he has to slowly break bad. And like you said, and like we said before, there's certain moments where he sort of had that Heisenberg personality, like when he spoke to Gus at points, when he spoke to other characters as well. And you get that interesting switch between of like, oh, this is when he's acting a bit more Walt, this is when he's acting a bit more Heisenberg. Because that's the whole thing with the show. But yeah, I've got a particular moment in mind, but I've never really quite heard of. I won't say what it is that he says, because it's one of the names of the episode. There is a particular moment later on where he says something, and it's like a famous scene, a famous quote that he has, and some people kind of say that's the moment he broke bad, but I think it happened a bit before that. There's no sort of like right or wrong answer. I mean, obviously, if you think he broke bad in the pilot, then I'm not quite sure what you're thinking. But yeah, because it's kind of also, even if you, I know this might sound silly to say, even if you look at Walt's head, like, it starts off with hair, then obviously it's due to the cancer, he shaves that off, but then that becomes sort of part of the appearance of, like, the famous appearance of Heisenberg. Then the hat gets introduced, which we have seen, because we saw that in one episode in season 1, I think, when he was meeting with Tuco. The hat and the glasses come out, and then it sort of progresses from there as well. Anyway, what do you think of the whole Breaking Bad moment and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, to answer the initial bit of the question, yes. I mean, the entire premise of the show was always to create a character who goes from the protagonist to become the antagonist. I mean, that was always the premise of the show, was to take a good character and turn them bad. So yeah, I mean, that was always Vince's idea. I mean, that's the basic moral setup for the series. It's interesting you mentioned Lost, actually, because this episode, and one of the reasons its numbers were slightly down when it actually initially went out, was up against the finale of Lost. That they went out on the same night. But yeah, huh. I mean, yeah, interesting. But I don't think there is a set point that everybody agrees on. Of, you know, that's when he absolutely broke bad. There are certain points where I think Heisenberg pops up, and there are points later on, I think, where you see Heisenberg more as a fully formed character. Whereas at the moment, you know, it's sort of who's driving Walt at that point, who's driving the body of Walter White at that point. And from a lot of it, it is Walter that's in the driving seat with Heisenberg occasionally taking the reins. But at some point that does flip around and Heisenberg is definitely the one in control. And as I say, this is not the point, this episode, I for me, is not the point where he does break bad, but it is the point where you see him allowing Heisenberg to take the reins. It happens much, you know, it sort of speeds up from this point, I think. You know, this is him reaching the top of that hill before he sort of relents and let Heisenberg kind of take over. I wouldn't necessarily say this is the episode where he becomes Heisenberg, but this is certainly, I think, the episode where he reached the peak of that and of being Walt and starts to hand the reins over to Heisenberg. So, as to the exact moment where you get a full-blown Heisenberg for the first time, I mean, as I say, we've seen little bits of it pop up throughout, like, you know, when he lets Jane die, but it's still Walt in there as well. It takes a little bit longer for Heisenberg to pop up. There isn't, but I wouldn't have said everybody agrees on, okay, that's
the moment. I don't know that was the idea, though, that, like, oh, everybody's got to agree on moment or something. So, because I think it depends on how you look at Walton Heisenberg as a character. So, which is fine. So,
yeah, no, totally.
Cool. That's what we got for the episode. We've got three left. We'll see what happens to Heisenberg and whatever else goes on. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. TV, games, films, main eye podcast. Take a look out for what we do. On those places, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, main eye podcast. You can support us either by listening to more episodes. There's a dozen of them on the site, so just have a look around. By the way, I was going to apologize for it, but it wasn't my fault. with what happened with the site this week, the ads decided to go a bit weird. It has now been resolved. I know you had a look at it for me and you pressed some buttons or something like that. Essentially, what the problem was the ad that was at the top of the site, which is underneath the name, decided to join the menu when you scroll down, which is not supposed to happen, which meant that half the site was covered. And I've tested like multiple versions of it from a few days ago, and that doesn't seem to be an issue anymore, which is good. I did not click on anything or press anything. These things just happen sometimes.
Yes.
So sorry if that cause any inconvenience to anybody, but it should be okay now. So there we go. Everything still worked. It's just you could only see off the page for some reason. But anyway, you can listen to more podcasts over there. You can use word of mouth social media. Let other people know about what we're doing. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, renewals, cancellations, pickups, air dates, strike news, all those sorts of things. Geektown Radio on Tuesdays, geektown.co.uk. David, that is yours. What's going on over there?
Geektown Radio this week, we had Grey on, who actually did review a film. In fact, I think he might have reviewed a couple of films, but he did Equalizer 3, certainly. So if you're interested in that movie, he did talk about that. We talked obviously about Starfield because that's the only thing I've been playing for the last month and probably will be for the next month. Talked about the End of Foundation, the Return of the Morning Show. Also talked about Gen V as well, because as I mentioned earlier, I have seen a few episodes of that. And there was something else which hasn't launched over here yet, but it's called Based on a True Story. It's Kaley Cuoco's new show. It's aired in America on Peacock. It will be coming here at some point because we don't know exactly where yet, but it will be coming. But I had some preview episodes of that as well. And I don't usually review things that haven't aired in the UK yet and haven't got pickups, but it's so good. and I really wanted to talk about it. So it's called Based on a True Story, but I talk about that as well on that episode. So yeah, that's all on Geektown Radio 397. You can go and find that wherever you get your podcasts or on geektown.co.uk.
Excellent. So go and check out all of that. For other people, you can find Bex over on Twitch, TristaBYTES, and on other platforms as well. She's streaming and doing lots of cool, fun stuff. So go and support what she's doing. You can find us on Twitch at eTalk UK and on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Players. I've still got lots of stuff to put up on YouTube, just bits and pieces of clips and stuff like that. So anyway, that's that for that. Thanks very much for listening, and we will see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.